It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning from beautiful Savannah, Georgia. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. As, you know, typically, as y'all can tell with our intro, we do broadcast live from Supply Chain City, Atlanta, Georgia. But today, we're down in beautiful Savannah here at Savannah Technical College for our second broadcast in a couple of months here. So much activity going on in Savannah. And, of course, the Savannah Technical College does an outstanding job of building a talent pipeline for all the industry growth that we're seeing down here in the Savannah area. In fact, it's part of a robust system of the technical college system here in Georgia, which does a great job supporting industry and helping to land and expand industry. So I'm looking forward to a great kickoff show here today, the first of three. So friendly reminder, you can find all of our Supply Chain Now Radio replays on a variety of channels, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and of course our premier partners, distribution partners over at Business Radio X. As always, we'd love to have you subscribe so you don't miss anything. But we've got a great show here today. So let's say hello. Let's say hello to my wonderful co-host, Bill Stankiewicz, who is a member of about a million boards down here making things happen, including his role as VP of Finance with Apex Savannah. He's really helped that two-year-old chapter get off the ground and they really serve the end-to-end supply chain community very well here. And he is a supply chain guru and consultant, the Savannah Supply Chain Guy. Good morning,
yes,
Bill.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm with you. It's got to be a good morning.
All we need is a big container ship going by.
Oh, and we provide our own sound effects here on Supply Chain Now Radio, so we're definitely supply chainers. But Bill, great to be back with you. Always enjoy these shows down here, and
thank you, Scott.
You co-host our Savannah Business Leadership Series and bring in some great folks and share your expertise throughout the interviews. So interesting. You can send me the bill later.
Okay,
for a full day.
It's
of consulting,
in the mail.
Right?
He pays me in Krispy Kreme only.
Yeah, you're letting out all my secrets, Bill. All right, so
we got to get them as a sponsor.
So let's welcome today's featured guest, Sean Conrad, Business Development Manager with Platinum Cargo Logistics. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, Scott. Bill, it's great to be here.
And morning, Sean.
Hey, and thanks for having me at your top management dinner last night.
Absolutely.
A lot of awards given out last night. What did you win?
It was a lot of fun. So I got a Starbucks card.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And a great evening on the river, right? Yeah. So Sean is referring to the Apex Savannah top management night. Also, it coincides, I think, with student night, scholarship night.
Yes.
A lot of great yearly awards that Jeff Leroy and the whole board gave out. Just a great evening of camaraderie.
A lot of fun. Sold out. Hundreds of people.
It was wall-to-wall. And it was just one of those neat, you know, it's good for supply chain folks to kind of take a departure from the demands and problem solving. And just a great evening. So kudos to Jeff and the whole board, of course, Bill and Laura Lee and everyone else. In fact, we're going to be interviewing Jeff Leroy, the president of Apex Savannah, in the noon hour here today. Looking forward to that. So, and Bill, we're going to talk about, that's going to be our third top thing to know in supply chain now. So you received an award last night.
Yes. And team effort there on behalf of the board and all the members. We've actually grown over the past year by adding an additional 70 members. And it's just a wonderful organization to address the skills gap here within Savannah, Georgia.
Yep. And so Bill doesn't like bragging on himself, and I'm going to brag on him a little bit because not only way back when he was in Atlanta, it was the same thing, serving industry, serving the community, serving the business market. And when he moved down here, it was more of the same. And, you know, industry is better off, and the Savannah market is better off, and our next generation is better off by things that Bill does. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
An award well deserved, and it was an award from Apex Savannah that that recognized his Bill Stankiewicz outstanding contributions. I'm reading it here to the chapter and the greater Savannah community, and that's just really neat and well deserved. So, congrats, Bill.
Thank you, and I love Georgia.
Yes, you do. so, with that, that's really the first of the top things to know in supply chain. Now, a lot of times we'll feature some news nuggets on the front end before we interview here Sean Conrad. So, if that's the first one, which is a big one. Earthshatter, you're going to be interviewed on CBS and ABC and CNN.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Coming up.
CNN, yeah, maybe, but it may be some fake news there, so we got to be careful.
Oh, where's that red censor button? So let's talk about some of the other top things to know in supply chain now. So first off, let's talk e-commerce, right? E-commerce is certainly dominating things here in the Amazon era, and let's talk about a different retail giant, and its continued push to adapt, adjust, and gain market share, or you could arguably say regain market share. So according to the Wall Street Journal, Walmart is reporting a sales increase for first quarter 2019, which continues to be a trend for the retailer over the last 4 years. So it's good news, obviously, for the obvious reasons, but also because many reports had showed a slowdown at times in consumer spending during the first quarter. So, you know, if you can raise the top line and maintain margins during, you know, some slowdown in spending, you're doing twice as good maybe. No longer, and this was interesting, the article in the Wall Street Journal went on to say, no longer is the company continuing to build new brick-and-mortar stores left and right. I mean, there was a phase where you couldn't drive 2 miles in Atlanta without hitting a Walmart, right?
True.
Or Savannah or California, you name it. So no longer is it building a bunch of new stores, but rather it's focusing its strategy on lowering prices even further. You know, that's been one of its taglines forever. Certainly growing online market share and offering more services in its current physical stores. What's also interesting here is Walmart is heavily investing in its supply chain to better serve its online grocery customers, which is really interesting. As we all know, Amazon's really ramping up to build on its presence already in that space. So that'll be interesting to keep your finger on the pulse and see how this continued e-commerce transition and transformation, this you know, decades-long leading retailer, how successful and how much more traction it can get and how much more market share it can get.
And actually here in Savannah, Port Fresh, that I helped with some of the startup, was just recently acquired by Americold Logistics, and Americold is also purchasing an additional 100 acres here for more temp control and also freezer space on food produce for import. So it just bodes well for what's going on in the market here for jobs and food.
Gotta have cold chain. Cold chain's
cold chain is big.
Part of the supply chain world these days. You know, we always try to be agnostic here. I'm really closely following the customer experience side of the Walmart e-commerce transition here. So
that was kind of my thought, was that the fact they've got their eye on what the consumer is interested in, and of course the diversification of services and product line. But you have to observe what's important to the consumer or customer, and
that experience, and that, you know, and when I think of experience, not only do I think of some of the things you just mentioned there, Sean, but I think of consistency. I think of how easy is it to get in and out, get what, you know, accuracy, pricing, just everything that makes up. You know, I don't want to love too much on Amazon, but we all know how tight of an experience they have really fine-tuned.
Well, yeah, I mean, just from the innovation side, which is a little bit of what I'll talk about here in a little bit, but you know, what Amazon, as an example, has done in 15 years to get to kind of that behind the scenes one day delivery, but reality, you know, it's like officially announced, but they've, you know, like the 1 to 2 day delivery, it took them like 15 years to get
there. And now
2 hour
delivery in certain markets.
So how, you know, so it'll be probably less than half that amount of time to get to that 1 or 2 hour delivery.
Yeah.
And that's going to mean a lot of process change within.
They keep raising the bar,
right?
Yeah. That's right. Just when you think you're ready to compete, all of a sudden, $800 million investment, you know, to raise the bar. So it's a whole new playing field.
And many companies that supply to Walmart are installing more automation, robotics now in the 3PL sector because the costs have come down. Companies like Gray Orange, which is Singapore-based, that recently built a brand-new corporate office here in Atlanta, Georgia, is doing outstanding. They've sold tens of thousands of new computers and automatic robots.
Yep. Doing big business, I think DHL's one of the early wins, and a lot of other companies.
XPO,
that's right, yeah. So one last thought here as we continue to track Walmart, I think it's fascinating from a supply chain case study, a supply chain transformation case study, e-commerce case study. Gartner recently ranked Walmart at 14 in its top 25 supply chain rankings, which was just released this week as they wrapped up the Gartner Supply Chain Conference. So we have got a couple of folks lined up that were there at the conference in Phoenix that will be giving us their key takeaways. So looking forward to that in the next few weeks.
Oh, and Scott, one footnote, the cannabis market is going to be a huge opportunity for transportation, too, and logistics.
Completely agree. You know, and some firms have set up shop in Georgia, especially as you see a variety of loosening of some of the regulations, right, some of the traditional regulations, I'll call it, especially as folks seem to have embraced a lot of the medical purposes behind the cannabis.
Such as Smoke Cartel.
Yeah.
Basically here, started 5 years ago from two SCAD students, and they're doing extremely well, purchased their own building, expanding in other markets.
So from Walmart to cannabis to go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, so to tie the observing the consumer in with the cannabis comment, observe what's important to the folks that are in that, you know, kind of cannabis.
Take a look at Oregon, California, and,
you know,
12 other markets where it's actually going to be, it's legal.
Yeah, different niches for sure. Okay, so we mentioned the top 25 supply chain rankings as released by Gartner this week. We're going to wrap up some of the top things known in supply chain now with sharing some more news around that list. So really interesting list. I'm a list person. I like rankings. I like, you know, even though, you know, this is not the holy grail of rankings, it's still a neat report that a lot of great analysis and reasoning, and I'm sure lots of passionate arguments went into producing this yearly list. So this yearly list. So this year's number one, as ranked by Gartner on the top 25 supply chain list, is any guesses?
None.
Colgate Palmolive.
Colgate.
And I think Colgate Palmolive leaped up four spots this year to take the number one ranking. And I'll tell you why.
Good toothpaste.
Yeah. That's what sealed it. I sealed it.
I used some this morning.
Me too.
So Colgate Palmolive, according to the Gartner team of experts here, and why they put them up top, first off, strong financial performance, especially when they consider return on assets, a perfect corporate social responsibility ranking as part of the, you know, the CSR, as part of the survey. They also received, Colgate Palmolive received high rankings for its B-Sharp operating approach, which appears, from what I can tell, to be a management system that helps organization encourage and enable, really, better decision-making and maximizes its leadership bandwidth. So that's really interesting. I'd love to learn more about that. Also, from a technology standpoint, Colgate Palmolive received praise for utilizing an end-to-end control tower, which helps provide visibility, which we all know is really hot in supply chain right now, collaboration, and dynamic decision-making gains. So not just making better decisions, but making them when they need to, right, and just when they need to. So really interesting study. We're going to learn more. We hope to interview someone from Colgate Palmolive and kind of get the insider's view and what went into driving a lot of these achievements. Rounding out the top five, Inditex, Nestle, PepsiCo, and Cisco Systems, which I think Cisco was ranked number one last year. But regardless, great companies that really value supply chain chops, right, and supply chain know-how, and it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the year plays out for these organizations.
Particularly PepsiCo, you know, a lot of their management team came from some high energy technology companies such as GE, and I've worked with them for many years out of Atlanta in the Frito-Lay operation, where we would ship out several billion boxes and cases per year out of Jonesboro, Georgia. And we measured everything, because that old saying, if you can't measure it, you don't know what you're doing.
Yep. All right. So that concludes our top things known supply chain now. We are really excited here, Bill and I, to feature our guest today on this first episode of Supply Chain Now Radio here live from Savannah Technical College. Sean Conrad, business development leader at Platinum Cargo Logistics. Good morning again, Sean.
Morning.
I don't know why I can say good morning. You're just part of the same conversation, but I felt compelled
as we move into
your segment. Yeah. So I've had the pleasure of collaborating with Sean on a variety of things, and we'll dive more into that in a minute. But this is his first interview with us, and I was excited about having him on. And because much like Bill, Sean does not take the transactional approach to doing business. He invests in the industry. He invests in the marketplace. And that is what we need. All right. We all need good news and folks that want to contribute their leadership bandwidth. So,
absolutely,
Sean, before we talk about Platinum Cargo and some of these other things you're doing, tell us about, you know, let our listeners give them a feel of who Sean Conrad is and your journey here.
Yeah, so my professional journey, right? So I've always been in the service sector, and some things that I feel are important are relationships, hard work, solid leadership, being kind to people. So my story, if you consider some of those things I just said, because I've always been in logistics.
Okay? Really?
Yeah. So my journey was, I'm an undergrad in the University of Southern Maine, and I become a Delta Chi, a Greek organization.
Yep.
And an alumni becomes the manager of a ramp operation at the Portland Maine Airport when Delta was outsourcing in all their kind of feeder stations. So,
wow.
So that's how I got into the industry, was baggage handling. But in Portland, Maine, it's this small airport, so you're the cargo handler, you're the mail handler. You
multiple
clean,
hats.
You clean the, you know, everything except fuel the plane while the plane is on the ground.
Fly the plane,
or
too?
Flying while the plane's on the ground, right?
He pulls it around, too, on that little car.
So,
right?
You know, that's networking. Didn't realize it then. Right. Ended up 2 years later joining on with Delta. Again, networking, because I developed a relationship with the station manager at Delta, went to LA. Was with Delta for 8 years. Had a great opportunity at a company, Swissport, which is a global ground handler. They're basically, their customer is other airlines, about 70,000 employees globally, right?
Again, they were the first one to do all the automation with the package handling worldwide.
Yeah. Wow. Again, networking. I'm currently with Platinum Cargo for 3 years, based on a relationship I built with their truck drivers. Mm-hmm. That we're loading and unloading off of my docks at the Atlanta airport, right? So, you know, and I've continued that now in this journey that I'm continuing on, right? With, you know, at the core, and, you know, we're about to get into, I think, a little bit about what Platinum, you know, my kind of role at Platinum Cargo, but, you know, it's helping people, right?
Solve problems, address pains, make things happen.
At the core, I mean, if we're not bringing value, right, in this frag, you know, and let's talk specifically on the supply chain, right? So logistics within the supply chain, it's very fragmented, right? This has been talked about. There are companies that are disrupting, which is good, because innovation, it's just not, I mean, we're not going to get to that, hit a button on a website and the product is at your door in 2 hours if we don't innovate, right? Mm. So these are things that are really important to me, right? Is the ability to help people, whether I have any direct skin in the game or not. Mm. You know, it's bringing that value to really help minimize their frustrations or help really make the whole supply chain process smoother, right?
Mm. Love it. So, shifting gears and telling us more about your role with and what Platinum Cargo Logistics does. Talk to us about that.
So, we're an international freight forwarder, right, which, you know, is a company that helps other companies. We are specifically in the B2B world, help companies move their goods within their supply chain, right? Typically from manufacturer to whether it's their distribution center or wherever they want it to end up at.
Yep.
Which again is fragmented. It's getting better as an overall industry. But you know, it really comes down, you know, generally we gain customers through referrals, based on bringing that value. And which is why I talk about it, because I feel like because we all need to be doing this sort of stuff, right?
Sure.
So to everybody listening, if you bring more value than what you receive in return, you've won.
Yeah.
Right. And unfortunately, I hear from companies that end up doing business with us that, you know, they didn't listen to this problem, or they weren't willing to be a part of the solution or whatever, right? So at my core, it's what I've always done. If I'm at Swissport, I'm helping get a truck on and off the dock quicker, mm-hmm. right? It was just in my blood.
Right.
You know, so.
Whatever it is.
But yeah, so so we're basically helping.
Just let me know what we're dealing
with here.
We're
basically helping, right. You know. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of what we do is the domestic ground transportation once it's in the country, or trying to connect it within the country to the port that it needs to exit the country from. But we've got the ability to do the customs clearance and the customs filing on it, you know, the whole gamut of what's required.
So in this era of, all customers are so laser focused and are in visibility is in demand, right? And we always joke, because when you order a pizza from Pizza Hut or wherever, they've got this infographic now that kind of tells you what stage the pizza's in. And I think that really speaks to what customers want, whether you're ordering a pizza or you're getting cargo.
Yep.
So if you would, speak a little bit to that, as because you mentioned y'all's role starts, if I understood you correctly, kind of when the freight comes in the country, right? Maybe. But speak to how do y'all find, what are some best practices to?
So, okay. So on the, take the domestic ground transportation piece, right?
Yep.
Email comes in or phone call comes in, please quote on whatever, mm-hmm. pick up here, drop off here, right? Most, you know, and I say this because we all need to be thinking about this, right?
Sure.
It's important to ask, is there a dock? Does it need a lift gate?
Things that you don't know about that might bite you, right?
You know,
you don't ask the
these
question.
Are,
do you
these
have to
are,
go upstairs?
These are what
is
an
there
asset,
an elevator?
He's exactly. Does it need to be unpacked once it's, exactly. Like kind
rubbish
of like
removal.
Debris removal. So these are things that asset-based trucking companies call accessorials,
yep.
which will quickly make that shipment a loss for somebody.
Whoever gets the buck passed to, right?
So if I'm the forwarder, right, not Platinum Cargo, that's a plug because we do it right.
Right.
But if I'm a forwarder not asking those questions, right, and I send a straight truck in and they don't even have a dock, right, a lot of what tends to happen is, oh, it's not only delivery the next day because they sent in the wrong equipment, but here's all these extra charges, right?
Or they drop it off like the
– or they just
– getting a boiler in. No lift gate.
So
– problem.
Yeah.
So – the forwarder now needs to make a decision. Am I passing that through or not? Right. Mm. So, sometimes we miss it and we take, you know, and we choose to, generally speaking, absorb it. Right. Because that's the right thing to do for our customer. Right. But it's not only making sure you're asking the right questions so that it goes smoothly and it doesn't delay the overall logistics side of the supply chain and getting goods to consumer, but, there's, generally speaking, more than one way to go about solving that problem.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Meaning it could go on a LTL-type carrier, or it could be expedite, or maybe it can fit into a smaller vehicle. Generally speaking, the smaller the vehicle on an expedite, the less it'll cost you. So anyway, it's giving them options so that they can make the best decision for their customer. Right?
So what I'm hearing you say is based on y'all's expertise and all of your experience and kind of been there, done that, you're able to Platinum Cargo, and any great freight forwarder is able to kind of prevent some of these problems from taking place because you're helping your customers think through the whole thing.
We like to ask questions on the front end.
Sure. Right. So you know what you're up against.
Yeah.
So not to double back, but in terms of visibility, once you kind of ask all those questions, how have y'all found it? How much do customers want to know exactly where that shipment is and how, I mean, speak to that.
So that's the next step, right? So now we're handling the shipment and I mean, we can put GPS on the truck or the cell phone. There's companies like MacroPoint. Mm. But we're giving updates. We'll give up. I mean, if it's an aerospace move, we may be needing to give updates every hour, right? Including 3 a.m. on a Sunday, right?
Okay.
So that's where we have the 24/7 coverage of the customer service staff, including holidays and weekends.
Wow.
But yeah, it's giving as few or as many updates as the customer's asking for.
Yeah.
So
no wonder you're not Gold Cargo Logistics, you're Platinum Cargo Logistics.
That's right, man. That's right.
All right, good stuff.
That's right.
I love the freight forwarding space.
We're trying to be a diamond.
Yeah. The freight forwarding space really is such an interesting aspect of the whole supply chain.
Very dynamic. So. Where's your call center located? Is it centrally located?
We're Sean? In the Atlanta branch.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
With a global reach.
That's right. So let's kind of shift gears a little bit from kind of your background and Platinum Cargo Logistics. Let's kind of go broader here. So what two or three supply chain trends or challenges or topics have you been tracking more than others here lately, Sean?
So you've got, of course, people are talking tariffs. Another one that I track, not hardcore, but I just want to kind of know enough to be dangerous, is on the sulfur mandate for 2020.
Yeah.
The IMO sulfur mandate. Like I read something the other day where one of the decisions that at least one carrier is making is to just slow the ship down. Mm. And I'll tie that in to something in a little bit, but
yep.
So that's just an interesting thing to really look at and explore. But the main, so I'm an old airport guy, mm-hmm. right? Loading and unload freighters and loading and unload trucks. And now I'm in the transportation and logistics sector with a freight forwarder and transportation. So what I spend a lot of time following is related to the truck driver kind of staffing or shortage, as a lot of people like to say,
mm-hmm.
because the backbone of our economy is the truck driver, right? And I personally don't believe there's a shortage.
Just pay them more money.
My opinion is that, and this is what I'm really following, and that's on the innovation side. People like to say there's 50, we have a shortage of 50,000 truck drivers, right? But there's two things that come to mind as to why I don't believe that that's a true number. Physical internet, that's something to look up for the viewers.
Yep.
An example is, as I was driving in from Atlanta yesterday, I drove, not speeding, but generally I was driving past trucks. And
you drive the speed limit.
I'm driving the speed limit, but trucks aren't allowed to drive as fast. So, it's very likely that at least two trucks that I drove by on the same road probably went to the same place, and it is unlikely that both of their trucks were at full capacity,
mm-hmm.
right? So physical internet. So really getting smarter about how we do it, right? But it's this fragmented industry that really tech and innovation is AI and data analytics. It's all happening, but we're way behind, right? So these are things. So anyway, the physical internet, as that improves and gains more traction and more investment by these companies, then that diminishes the shortage. And as well, what I feel nobody is talking about is, I shouldn't say nobody, but it's not being talked about enough, and that's why I wanted to talk about it, is the dwell time that trucks face when they're trying to get loaded or unloaded. In one sense, if you talk driver detention, mm-hmm. right? So the trucking company, if he's, you know, generally you have 2 hours free to load or unload, right? Generally speaking, it could be less, it could be more. Just generally speaking, it's about 2 hours. So say he's on the dock for 6 hours.
Yep.
Happens all the time. Not just at the airport, not just at Long Beach port. That was actually in the news today, where on the innovation side, and I'm digressing here a little
bit.
But
please.
It was actually in the JOC. It popped up on my phone this morning. The guy in charge of Long Beach port has, and I didn't dig into it yet, but has mandated port-wide trucker appointments.
Okay.
Period. Okay. So it's what we don't have on the warehousing side. Truck appointments, right? Mm. But anyway, but let me get back on thought here.
Drivers.
Yeah, so this detention, you know, so he's there for 6 hours. Well, if it's 2 hours free, then that trucking company's billing whoever gave him the rate con 4 hours of detention, right? Mm-hmm. The warehouse, who really is a big part of why he was there 6 hours, there could be other components, but the warehouse is big. That guy's not feeling the pain currently.
Right.
Okay. So, meaning he's not paying the detention, right? So that's got to change too, right? Like we just, and awareness is really one of the first steps.
Yep.
So between dwell time, which can be improved through innovation and tech, whether it's at the Port of Long Beach or some stuff happening probably here at the Georgia ports,
yep.
or some stuff that we're working on at the Atlanta airport. And now I'm finding from talking with other folks it's happening elsewhere at other ports around the country and even the world, that's going to improve, right? So anyway, long answer there, but that's something I track a lot, is on the kind of what's happening in the trucking piece specifically of transportation.
Yep. Well, there is so much to be done in that area we got some big gaps in the area. I mean, whether from driver shortages to driver, what I'll call the driver experience, mm-hmm. right, that we need to address, to some of these policies, of course, the ELD mandates and the changes. I mean, there's just so much going on. We could dedicate 3 weeks of, you know, 8 hour a day programming and still get service level. So let's go back to something you said there. You mentioned the physical internet, and we should give a shout out to the folks at Georgia Tech who have a 100%. Wonderful physical internet center.
100%.
In fact, they've got a, I don't have that professor's name handy.
Benoit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Benoit is like a thought leader in this space. They host conferences.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is.
You will become smarter being in the same room with Benoit, even if just for 1 minute.
Completely agree. So, Physical Internet Center, Physical Internet Center at Georgia Tech. Look that up if you want more information, and doing good stuff there. All right. So, any other, before we move over into what I know is one of your passions, where we've collaborated a little bit here lately, any other supply chain trends you want to speak to that you're really keeping on the dial here lately?
No, that's
okay. That's plenty.
Yeah.
It's plenty.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about what I, on the front end, as we were introducing you, Sean, we talked about how much you work in the industry, in the community, basically kind of from a volunteerism standpoint, volunteer leadership standpoint. And workforce development is certainly one of your passions. And I think we met initially at the formerly named High Demand Career Initiative, which the state of Georgia has had up for a couple of years. And to our listeners, and I'm sure a lot of states have something like this, Georgia being, you know, the best state to do business in 6 years in a row, workforce development, since it's on the tips of, and it keeps people up at night, you know, have to find talent to keep growing, and for that matter, just to operate today, right? Get what needs to happen this week, it keeps people up at night. So The state of Georgia's had this high demand career initiative, which addresses certain key industries and kind of starts to work on how can we ensure there's a talent pipeline going into these key industries that's going to represent growth here in the state. And I believe healthcare is one. I believe technology is
IT,
one.
Yep.
And then finally, the one where you and I have collaborated on, and Bill, I know you've done work down here related to that, is the transportation logistics space, right?
The TDL, Transportation, Distribution, and Logistics.
That's right. So in that space, there's a variety of think tank meetings and it's a variety of initiatives that they're trying to build from both the grassroots level and from a what can a state do level. And so talk to us first off, before we get into some of the programs and some of the other things you're seeing, why is that such a passion for you?
Yeah, so, I mean, it goes back to one of the first things I said, right, in that it's helping people, right? So supply chain and, you know, and even logistics and any real aspect, we need help, right? And, you know, I was thinking about this, and even this is something I've been thinking about over the last couple of days, not even months. But as we come full circle in improving that talent pipeline, I think what organically is going to happen, and I'm kind of jumping around here, but because I'm kind of saying the last thing first, but some of it is even branding. And I know I just threw a right hook there, but, you know, because like my boys that are 6 and 3 know who Caterpillar is because they've got the toy digger that they use, right? But most don't know that Caterpillar also makes a forklift,
right?
As an example. But anyway, it's helping people, right? So, I mean, personally, I got into the industry by chance, right? An alumni of my fraternity needed labor to work at the airport. So he hired a bunch of us. It's actually pretty smart.
Serendipity.
I'm telling you, serendipity, man.
You had a strong back.
So, you know, it's by chance, right? But yeah. I didn't know, you know. I mean, obviously I knew there was baggage handlers because I took planes when I was a kid and, you know, I saw them get, but that it was more than that. So we need to, so I know that we need help. So so for me, that journey started really out of, I've lived at the airport up until 3 years ago. I've always lived at the airport. So the airport is its own ecosystem and they really need help. And it's not just in supply chain. It could be the janitorial, it could be concessions or whatever. Right. Yeah. And nobody really knows what goes on.
Well, let me stop you for a minute, because when you're talking about one of the world's busiest airport, depending on the day of the week,
Hartsfield.
Yes, and between cargo and passengers.
Well, it is.
Well, you know, there's a brief time Chicago, when the Chicago airports took it back.
ORD.
I think it's like a horse race. But regardless, you're talking about a city, a large city, and a large ecosystem. Mm-hmm. To your point, there's all kinds of things. I mean, it's amazing what they do. And it's amazing at the rate and the safety levels and the, you know, everyone complains when a plane is, you know, 30 minutes late or stuff. Dude, that's it's amazing that those are the small things that happen, and not some of the other bigger things. So you're talking about how you basically lived at the airport for years, right?
So and you know, being in charge of hiring, I mean, as the general manager of Swissport, the talent pipeline was, it's what we all know, right? It's not where it needs to be.
It's the war for talent.
People are finding out about jobs at the airport. Well, I mean, it continues on into supply chain and logistics now too. Yeah. But, you know, but they find out by chance, and so.
But that, you know,
so I got approached on this. On this industry partnership about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. It really started taking steam probably when the grant hit, about a year ago. And we're going down a path that is very exciting. So since meeting you, Scott, you've got the elementary school, the supply chain 101, right?
You got it. You got
it's expanded in Savannah.
Supply chain 101. That's right.
Yeah. So that that needs to grow,
mm.
and I'll be a part of that. Getting into middle schools, for sure we need to get into high school, you know, and basically supply chain and talking about what goes on in supply chain, that we need creative artists, engineers,
right.
data analysts, the technologists.
It's not just kicking boxes. It's not just, you know, it's, I like how the supply chain has really, you know, folks are starting to embrace the end-to-end notion and definition of what goes on.
I mean,
supply chain.
I mean, I would argue that, you know, that for something that's so vital as the back, you know, to the backbone of anything we've ever consumed.
Sure.
Or potentially is needed by an employer of whatever other industry, you know, awareness from really looking at changing the right. way we've always done it. That's what's exciting me right now,
yep.
right? So there's a lot of different things going on. You know, you've got this High Demand Career Initiative with United Way and Atlanta Career Rise and
WorkSource
Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, where I see, in fact, we just had a meeting a couple days ago. I see that, you know, like companies like Southwire mm-hmm. in West Metro Atlanta,
which is one of the largest, just
have done
listeners.
A great job yeah. of engaging in the community. It's like 5 or 6 high schools, I want to say. They've got high school students that are, you know, they've partnered with the schools, they've partnered with the WorkSource programs. To a certain extent, the full curriculum is being done at Southwire, right? Mm-hmm. But what they're doing is they're employing people while in high school, which is a need for Southwire.
So I think we need some context.
It's actually improving the graduation rate, right?
Yeah, just so, because a lot of folks may not know what Southwire does.
Okay,
and they're large, one
large
of the largest wiring,
wiring
manufacturers, braided cabling. They employ thousands in at least the state of Georgia, probably globally as well.
Very well-run manufacturing organization. I've been on tours there.
Yep.
It's cool.
And they're headquartered in kind of West Atlanta, Carrollton, Georgia,
Carrollton,
I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
And so just to give it, and to Sean's point, they've also heavily invested back into the community, and they're well-known for, I can't remember the name of the program. They've got a really neat program, which you're talking, I think you're speaking yeah. to, where they're basically are employed.
They've actually raised the graduation rate over the last 12 years
wow.
within
That's
that
amazing.
County.
That's amazing.
So
13 for life, 12 for
12. Yeah. Look it up.
The research team will be on that.
So there really is no talent pipeline, right? I'll speak for Metro Atlanta, right? It's probably a lot broader.
It's here. You got to just dig. Mm. Go back into the schools.
Mm. Yeah. yeah. So partnering with the schools, I see some, you know, and this is my thought, right? Mm-hmm. And so don't take it for, you know, this is going to happen, right?
No one's listening.
But imagine, you know, we've partnered with the schools.
Yes.
There are high school kids who know all about supply chain because we've been talking about it since they were in elementary school mm. that are now, whether it's tech-based or not, but they're interning with employers that have partnered into the program,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're talking about all these skills that are going to be needed.
Yep.
And then at 18, maybe they go on to be an undergrad to be an engineer within supply chain, or maybe they just go right in and they continue doing what they were doing in high school and whatnot.
It's,
right?
It's similar to a program here in Savannah called MLET, Marine Logistics Education mm-hmm. Task Force, where they partner with about 22 different companies for either juniors or seniors to yep. get a working job. And 9 out of 10 of those kids then may be fully employed mm-hmm. after they reach graduation
yeah.
in
yeah.
high school, and
yeah.
it's been a very, very successful
yeah.
program here.
Yeah. And then for that employer,
mm-hmm.
they've got current staff
yep.
that need better skills, like leadership has come up, right?
Apex training.
And I've seen that, well, even just kind of like the soft skills needed to lead a team, right?
Sure.
But which, I mean, that very
life
well,
skills.
I don't know enough, sorry, about the Apex training yet, but yeah, so even internally, you know, you can't just throw the hard worker with 6 months and have them start leading a team, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's good, but, you know, but they need, so anyway, it's that whole career path concept, right?
And this ties into what WorkSource is doing. WorkSource will actually provide training credits to fill that skills gap. So say you have an employee that been there 5 years and they wanted to promote that person to be a supervisor or lead in 6 months.
Yep.
They'll fill that partition by issuing training credits to help supply that need.
Yeah. So, but Malcolm, go ahead.
If I can say one, so I want to tell a story. And it's very much on that kind of looking at really changing the process within the program, right? I at a networking event met a lady who is very connected with the United Way and the Tocqueville Society. And this was like 2 weeks ago. And
is this the cannabis industry?
Not cannabis. No, United Way.
Tocqueville?
Tocqueville Society.
Okay. Scott's looking for free samples. No.
Okay.
No.
And she invited me to their monthly luncheon.
Yes.
And I went. And I met the president, Milton Little, of United Way Atlanta. Great guy. And at this luncheon, he was talking about this Thursday big annual State of the Children event. It's a breakfast thing that was going on. And I was looking on my phone, and it was sold out because it was 2 days before, right? Mm. It ended up being 600 people in this room.
Wow.
And afterwards, I met him on the back end as well, and I said, Milton, I really want to be at this on Thursday. And he walked away, and he talked to somebody, and somehow I got a seat, right? So the United Way Atlanta has a separate program, and this is all this, you know, workforce development, right? It's not just, you know, how to drive, you know, like a technical type of certification, but it's all of the person themselves, you know, because they we're all humans, right? And we're in this relationship environment, right? And everybody has something different that's making them tick, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So a couple years ago, the United Way in Atlanta identified that the overall child well-being is not where it needs to be in Metro Atlanta, right? And they've got this heat chart that's, you know, saying in certain zip codes, you know, that it is likely that you may not do well throughout life. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I encourage the listeners to go to the United Way Atlanta page, look for State of the Children or Child Well-Being. But what was very impactful to me going to this event last week was that we have to change, you know, they're looking to change kind of the way it's always been done. And I mean, there's a lot of large organizations. Comes the end of the year, the board votes on how much they're going to donate to whatever, right? And so they donate $1 million to whatever nonprofit organization. And then they all feel great that, you know, they're making a difference. But in reality, they're just passing the buck to somebody else to deal with, right? Whatever the focus of that organization is. Versus collectively getting into the communities, which kind of ties in on that kind of consumer conversation, but get into the communities and ask these folks, what do you need? What's important to you, right? And really
level.
At the grassroots ground level, right? And it all ties in, right? Because we could be talking to third graders in a school on the supply chain 101 and the lemonade team exercise, and there may be something else going on to where they're not really fully embracing what it is that we're trying to give them awareness to. So, I mean, I just got tied in with these folks last week, and I see myself talking a lot more about it, being involved. You know, I'll end up trying to bring probably you in and, you know, as well. It's just a lot of great stuff going on in the Metro Atlanta area.
Yeah.
And it's, you know,
they have wonderful programs throughout the U.S. because I've worked with the United Way when I was based in Roseville, California, and we did some tremendous programs at the food banks, training in the centers and that, and I think the leadership there across the U.S.
I have not felt so much energy in one room. Well, maybe last night at the Savannah chapter. But I have never felt so much energy and passion in one room.
That's nice. We need more of that.
So, Malcolm and the research team, just going back to something you said, 12 for Life at Southwire, and if folks, it's really a model program for a public-private partnership. And as Sean mentioned, it's been driving change with real results. You know, it's one thing for lip service. It's one thing, as you're kind of alluding to
measure the process.
Yeah, exactly. How are you moving the needle?
Yeah, and Southwire's done a wonderful job.
Yep, and you can benchmark that for anyone at 12forlife.com, and that's 12forlife.com, and check that out. But great program at Southwire. So, Sean, it sounds like you've got, with this last experience here, you've got one more thing to add to your plate with this group and the passion in the room and folks out there making it happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic.
100%.
All right, so let's make sure how can folks learn more about Platinum Cargo Logistics? I want to make sure we get your how do folks, if they want to tap into your expertise and
problem solving? The easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn, which is, you go to LinkedIn and then / Sean Conrad, S-E-A-N, Sean Conrad in Atlanta.
And what's the website for Platinum, Sean?
PlatinumCargo.com.
Perfect.
And on my LinkedIn page, I've got my cell phone and my email. It's a open profile, so please reach out anytime.
At 3 a.m. on Sunday.
At 2 a.m. I'm in sales now, so I don't have to worry about a truck or a plane broken.
I'll call you in Chicago time.
The phone may be on silent at 2 a.m.
No, I would imagine if you're working with Sean, access won't be a problem. So that's kind of what I've gathered over the last couple of years. So, I want to make sure we get that information out there. But also, you're one of our newest ASCM members, right?
100%,
Association for Supply Chain Management.
Welcome.
Obviously. Yes, right.
Thank you.
So Apex Atlanta, who's a sponsor of this program, Apex Savannah, which is where we were at the event last night, are both part of the ASCM community. And I want to ask you as a new member, but you've been active in a variety of professional associations. What type of things do you look to get out of your affiliation, your membership?
Yeah. So it's kind of a hard, on one hand, it's kind of a hard question to answer because things I've found as I really look back at my personal journey and some of the stories that I've shared here today that, you put in hard work and you're kind to people, right? Things happen, right?
Sure.
So, organically, right? Organically, I've gotten more involved in organizations in the Atlanta area, right? Over the last couple of years. And, on one hand, it's easy to say, well, you can't just join every organization at the same time, right? It just doesn't work, right? So that's what I mean by kind of organically that, in these 5 or 6 or 7 organizations that I've focused on over the last couple years, that's how I met Scott. Mm-hmm. And then organically, we're doing Supply Chain 101 in Henry County, Locust Grove, Georgia, a couple weeks ago, and you invited me to the Savannah chapter meeting last night. Now, why did I become a member?
Yes,
a month ago.
Because
of. And that's a difficult question to answer. It just felt right.
How are you going to look back 2 years from now and say, you know what? Yeah, especially related to all your other association experience, what do you look to gain
before I answer that question, I'll say that I'm a big believer in bringing more value than I receive. So by doing the Supply Chain 101, which is an APEX or ASCM sponsored program, I should become a member, period. The end. what's more interesting on that organic and not, you know, and of course building relationships and networking, right? It's the, it's, I talked about that on the front end as well. Right. So, meeting more people, from a, what puts food on my table, that's sales. So, referrals are huge, right? So, but they go both ways, right? I try to, in bringing more value than I receive, I try to give more referrals than I receive, right? But it's that, but it all starts with relationships, it starts with networking and so on, right? What's very interesting is what I heard last night, and I haven't yet talked to you about it, Scott, for the Atlanta area, but that's not to say I can't make the drive to Savannah either, that the Savannah chapter is looking for more facilitators of these, help me out with the terminology.
Yes.
Right. So, so that, so now I've got a fire inside of me as of last night to get the personal certification over the next whatever amount of time and then see where I can volunteer time to be one of y'all's facilitators.
That's wonderful. And Scott, Sean, I want to invite you to be part of the Career Education Advisory Council here for Chatham County. Only two meetings a year. You're going to help with the grade school, high school level.
That's right.
And this has just been wonderful meeting you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure.
So, Sean, remind us one more time where we can go to get more information. We can find Sean. We've been talking to our audience, Sean Conrad with Platinum Cargo Logistics.
And LinkedIn.
That's right.
Well, yeah. So LinkedIn.com/Sean Conrad in Atlanta.
We got to get you on BB.com too.
I'm working on the Instagram and the Facebook, but LinkedIn's the best way. And that does have my cell number and my Platinum Cargo email address.
Perfect. Perfect.
Well, BB.com is free, 40 million members, and I invite you to participate.
Okay.
There.
All right. I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
Ambassador unpaid there.
So we've been talking with Sean Conrad, a business development leader over at Platinum Cargo Logistics, also one of the newest ASCM members, and very active with a wide variety of industry initiatives and projects, especially focused on workforce development. So thanks so much, Sean. Great to have you here.
Yeah, it's been a
blast.
Safe
travels this afternoon as you head back to Atlanta and then your next couple stopping points.
Yeah. Many thanks, Sean.
That's right. All right. So we're going to wrap up this first episode on some upcoming events and looking forward to our next two shows here in Savannah. But first up, Supply Chain Radio, proud media partners of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th. Home run lineup of speakers from Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, UPS, DHL Supply Chain, many more. We're going to be broadcasting live thanks to Becker Logistics. You can check them out at beckerlogistics.com. And you can check out EFT.com for more details. If you can't find what you're looking for, shoot us a note to Scott@supplychainnowradio.com.
We love I-4 Transport, EFT.
We sure do. They do
good people out of the UK.
Absolutely.
Across the pond.
Yep. And we're looking at attending their CIO conference in Austin, Texas in November, I believe. So, and that's just two of many, many events they do a great job with. Our next show today is at 12 noon. Bill?
Yes, sir.
We're going to be featuring APIC Savannah's chapter president, Jeff Leroy, who's doing a lot of great work, as Sean and Bill both alluded to. And then at 2 p.m. Eastern time today, we're going to be interviewing Stacy Watson with the Georgia Ports Authority, which is going to be really eye-opening. He's going to be talking about imports and exports and real estate, some of the things you probably don't know that the GPA team is all involved with as they help make business happen, not just for the state, but regionally. And you could argue nationally in many ways.
True.
So looking forward to our teaming up on those interviews. Big thanks to our guest today. Again, Sean Conrad with Platinum Cargo Logistics and, of course, my co-host, Bill Stankiewicz. Bill, before we sign off today, what did we miss?
Not too much. I think it's been a really good morning show today, and we're looking forward to the other guests that are coming here. Also, as a footnote, the Savannah Technology Task Force Corridor is opening up to have more 3PLs to be part of committees. If there's anyone interested in that, just send me an email to info@savannahsupplychain.com.
That is a great announcement. We'll dive into more of that on next show because that is a great opportunity to help. You know, we all know the logistics and supply chain chops that we've got in Savannah, right? A rapidly growing market between the ports and all the organizations here. Supply chain talent is here. Now you layer in that technology.
Technology Corridor Task Force.
Yes. And in this freight tech era, I mean, there's a huge opportunity to make Savannah a global technology freight tech capital.
Most definitely. And as listed in Research and Markets Report, the North American Third-Party Logistics Report, the big issue is focusing on managing timely delivery along with reducing operational costs throughout the system.
Okay. We'll talk more about that second show. So be sure to check out upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us again on iTunes, SoundCloud, all the other leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next time.